It's time for Matt the Hammer Ski.
Oh, oh, that was dirty. Oh, I think I'm good. I was actually thinking about just preaching on my fly down tonight, just to kind of follow up last week's. Hey, before we actually get started, everybody be quiet. Bow your heads real quick. Father God, I just thank you for this time, Lord God, of your word. God, I thank you for the time of the worship. God, I thank you for the kids, Lord God, that passionately went after you, Father. And for those that didn't, God, tonight I ask you would burn a fire in them, God, that they would start seeking you more passionately. So, and also silence Mr. Giggles during this sermon. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. Oh, and Chuckles, his brother. I want you guys to see a video. Listen, listen. Shh. Oh, that was you? Sounded like Mr. Giggles. You did a good impression. Okay, so video. Ready? Check this video out. And just be quiet and watch it.
Since the start of man, we as a people have fallen short of perfection. But this intelligent creator had a plan of redemption and grace, a plan for the whole world. If you embark on this journey laid out by the Father, there is a simple command: to love and to share the life that only He can give. Every day you pass broken people in desperate need of hope. Their cries are longing to be heard, but drowned out by your pride. You can't hear them. You don't want to hear them. Too many times, we don't want to get involved. It just seems like too much work. There's too much guilt to look back. But there is a reason to look back if you left someone behind.
Was amazing. Man, I've watched that video probably, I kid you not, probably about like 16 times now. It's only like 2 minutes long. Where did Travis go? Is he gone? I think they went to go practice something. Travis, though, how many of y'all know Travis? Usually back there, shaved head. No, that's Mark. Big baby's Mark. Travis, though, looks sort of like him, but he's a lot shorter. He actually edited and put all that video together, filmed it. Well, Mark helped film it. A couple other people were a part of the production and the actual people in it, but Travis actually edited that, and it's just amazing. I know you'll agree. Where was I? I was gay with. Where's Josh? Oh, Josh isn't up here. Josh is in ETS. We were friends. I don't know. Anyways, so tonight what we're gonna talk about? Go throw the slide up there, Sydney. Warning: works best when broken. What? Wait a minute. Wait, what? Now, if you were to read that on something, you'd probably be like, what? Wait, Sydney, let me see your phone. Let me see your phone, Sydney. And let me see it. Let me see it. Okay. Now, if I were just, let's just say, I was going to follow this for this. Warning, works best when broken. Well, I want my phone to work best. So, uh-oh. Sorry, Sydney. I'll have to get you another phone. But you can see that, what's up now? It's cracked, right? Now, if I was looking for this, warning works best when broken. Now, imagine you see somebody get a brand new phone out of a box and they just, huh! Oh, yeah! Yeah! Hello? Oh, I can see it. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I can hear you a lot better now that my phone's cracked. Yeah. No, it's working great. Can you hear me now? Of course you can, because I cracked my phone. Good. Okay, good. Now, maybe not for that. That doesn't really work for that, or, you know, iPads or guitars. They normally don't work well. I mean, if somebody had a guitar, they'd just let me break right now and then try and play it. I could show you that illustration, but I'm pretty sure. Well, Mark, how do you feel about that? If I just, where's your guitar? Oh, there it is. It just started to look up. No, don't. So that doesn't work for that. But now let's think about saying something that needs to be broken. Like, let's say a horse. How about a horse? Now, if I were to say warning works best when broken with a horse, that's true, because I'd like to see one of you go find a horse in the wild, you know, My Little Pony prancing around in the prairie, and all of a sudden, yeah, My Little Pony, you're like, oh, I'm going to ride My Little Pony, right? Because horses want to be rode by humans. That's what they actually want. They do. They come out born just thinking, I need to find a human so they can just, you know, ride around on my back. No, they don't want that. But we have to do something that's called breaking a horse. So you train them so they can be useful to you. So you can use them for like back in the day, that was their transportation. That was the way they got around. So they had to get the horse used to the bit, which taught them how to steer, which way to go, and everything like that. Now, first, if you were to hop on that horse without it being broken, what do you think it's going to do? It's going to kick you off. It's probably going to run you over a couple of times and then laugh at you and go, nay, 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 no. But seriously, a horse that needs to be broken. Now let's take a dog. A dog, for example. I had a pretty big dog that I trained when he was a puppy. So when he got big, he would listen to me, and I wouldn't have such a problem. Well, it didn't take very well, but he sort of did kind of listen. I don't know. It wasn't very good. But we had these different collars that I had to start walking him with, okay? Because I tried to take him walking just with a regular leash, right? And he'd he'd just be like this. Where are you? Come back over here. No, and now he's still a puppy at this point, so I'm really worried if he's jerking me around like this and he's not even full grown. So I'm going around everywhere. I'm like, oh, my arm hurts. And so I'm walking him, and the trainer's watching me walk him, like trying to hold him back. She was like, does he always pull like that? I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, he's a good dog. Don't get mad at him. He likes to go ahead of me. No, that's not good. Here, try this. She gives me it's called a choke chain. So what it does is it tightens around the dog's throat when it tries to pull ahead of you, right? So it kind of cuts some of the air off, not in a real abusive way. It just, okay, now look. This is Trey. Okay, look, watch. So choke chain, right? He starts to go, but see, Odie was so stubborn, choke chain didn't really work. So he'd be going, he'd just be like, he'd still be trying to pull. He's like, I don't care. I got to walk ahead. He didn't care. And then eventually she put on a different collar, and it was called a pinch collar, and gave him a little pinch, like they pulled real quick, right? And so it was like the first time when she used that on him, he starts to pull, right? And this was the trainer doing this because I didn't have the heart to, you know, break him in like this. And the dog starts going, she gives him a little jerk, and Odie goes, burr! And he stops, right? Because he's like, wait a minute. That didn't feel good. Wait a minute. Okay, let me establish some things. This doesn't feel good. And if I don't follow this evil lady, it's going to hurt again. So all of a sudden she starts walking, and there's Odie stuck to her side, just like, you got it. I'm right here. I'm in the zone. And I had that collar, and I'd walk Odie around. It was so easy walking around the neighborhood. And then eventually I took the thing off, and he was so used to being on my side, he became broken into that. He became a broken house dog, that he was broken into the house. He didn't go poop in the house anymore, except occasionally when my mom would forget to let him out. But, you know. That was bad, but you know, so he would stay by my side, right? Now, in the same thing as you, when you get saved, you become a Christian, you have to be broken. God has to get you to a certain place so he can use you, because you're carrying around all of these things that stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Now, I'm not saying God's going to pull out a choke chain on you. That'd be pretty intense. You'd be walking around just wrong way. Sometimes I wish God might be that harsh in me, so I just, you know, I know for sure. Oh, yeah, no, that's, you're right, God. I'm going to go back over here. No, but it's not like that, but he's got to break things off of you. So let's talk about something. See, he's got to break things off to use you. Now, a big thing that God always battles with us, and I know with me personally, is pride. How many know that word, pride? Okay, really? So pride, like if somebody fell, you're like, did that really hurt, or did it just hurt your pride, right? Have you ever seen somebody just trip, fall flat on their face in school? Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. And what's so funny is seeing the people that do it, and they're like, and they pretend like, oh yeah, I'm just getting ready. I got football next period. Just getting ready to get ready. I actually, funny story, Tyler brought this up to me. I didn't even know this about it, but I had a kid in my old youth group. His name was Dakota, and Dakota plays varsity football for Deer Park, and he just got signed to SMU to play for them for college. Really great football player. But the game me and Sydney decided to go see him at, we're watching him, right, and we're filming him, and in the play, they go hut, and right, he's going up to make this big hit, and he just slips for some reason and falls flat on his face. And it was hilarious, and I still have the video saved, so when he's a big shot in the NFL, I'm going to post it on YouTube and say, hey, check out Dakota! But it hurt his pride. He was like, he got up, he kind of like, oh, I meant to, it was a distraction. Coach called a distraction play just now. That's what I was doing. The team was distracted. But no, our pride, right? You get prideful sometimes. Who do they think they're talking to? I can't snap with that finger. There we go. Nope. No, you obviously don't know me, man. I've seen some, it's especially, for some reason, it's in cell phone stores. I don't know what the deal is, but it's like girls in cell phone stores, they're like, what do you mean I don't have unlimited data? What? Do you know who I am? I don't need this, but I do need unlimited data. So put that on my plan. But they get so prideful. They get, do you know who I am? No, lady, I don't know who you are. Well, you should. Because I'm prideful. Now, Texans are big on pride, okay? Now, I can tell you this. I can tell you this, Texans. No. Now, as you would think, Texans, just like in everything Texas, it's bigger, right? Trucks are bigger. Hamburgers are bigger. Everything, every aspect in Texas, the whole state is huge, right? So you know what? I mean, that's what Texans, right? Right? They're big. They're like, yeah, where are you from? I'm from Texas. And immediately they're like, oh, okay. So do you ride a horse to school? Yeah, every day. No. See, like I was saying about last week with Zach, how his accent kind of revived my roots there. We as Texans, we've gotten kind of more city urban, especially here in Houston, so we kind of lost that. I mean, we don't sound like Northerners. You go up north, they're going to tell you you're from Texas, but it's still, we don't have that real deep kind of accent. But still, we have the rodeo, right? Everybody's like, the Texas rodeo is the best. Nothing else matters, right? The Texas rodeo. Okay, now if you took the monument, how many of you been to the monument? Have you seen the Texas monument? We won the battle of San Jacinto. It's literally right down the road. You can probably see it from here. But now they have a law, right, that, you know, the Washington, you know, monument, our national United States as a nation, their monument is the tallest monument. It needs to be the tallest monument, right? So when Texas built their monument, they made it just a couple inches shorter than the Washington monument, right, the actual monument. And then they threw a huge star on top of it to make it that much bigger. So what does that show you about Texans? We're prideful. That's right. You just be like, yeah, yeah. So our pride, right? Our pride. But see, the thing, listen. The thing with God is your pride tends to get in the way a lot. Because God will tell you to do something, and you're like, I can't do that. What will people think? Just that video we just watched. You're blinded. Yeah, we can watch it again later. You're blinded by your pride. You didn't want to say anything because of your pride. You didn't want to help the people that were hurting and in need because of your pride. When an altar call was given and you were really struggling and you really needed to come forward to get help, you couldn't because of your pride. See, a bad kind of pride to have is a pride to think that you can, you know, go to school, act however you want, put your hands on whoever you want, do whatever you want, and then come in here and just act like whatever. That's pride. To think you can come in to a holy, in the presence of a holy, holy God and be like that. I've been there. I've done that. I've been living how I wanted to during the week, and then I came up through service, and I'd play bass, I'd help lead worship, and it was pride. Man, I look back at it sometimes, I'm thinking, man, I'm so glad God didn't just whoosh. Not that he would have, but he could have.
because I was just that bad. But seriously, your pride, it holds you back from so many things. Can we throw up that first verse? See, the thing about pride is it can and it will destroy you. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Okay, throw up another one. I got a couple of these that just really say it. Pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Have you heard that before? Some version of that? Pride before the fall? There's always pride. When you see somebody that's fallen greatly, at one point they had a lot of pride in something. Like, let's take, I don't know, somebody really crazy. Oh, Hitler. Yeah, Hitler. Let's take Hitler, for example. He was proud in the German race, right? He was so proud nobody could beat the Nazis, everything like that. And what happened to him? He actually wimped out and didn't even finish the whole thing. So, but the pride came before the fall. Next, what do I got after this? Better to live humbly with the poor than to share plunder with the proud. So it's literally comparing pride that if you share with these proud people, these prideful people, and it makes you rich, that's really not that great. Because it's better for you to be poor and humble than full of pride. Why? Because God can't do anything with you if you're full of pride. If you're full of pride in yourself and the things you've done or the things you want to do or the things you think you're going to be, God can't use you. Because you're hung up by your pride. Wait a minute. Sodom and Gomorrah. Has anybody heard of this city? Sodom and Gomorrah. Y'all heard the story? Okay, normally when you say Sodom and Gomorrah, you think of the fire, right? God destroyed this city with fire, everything like that. Now, why did God destroy that city with fire? Sin City. Okay, but what's usually the... That's good. See, most people will jump at the chance when you say Sodom and Gomorrah, they instantly think homosexuality. Which homosexuality, yes, is a sin, but that's not why God destroyed that city. God destroyed that city because it was full of pride. Because they were so prideful to think that they could go against his creation of Adam and Eve and think they could go with a guy and go with a girl. Because they were that prideful, they thought that I can do whatever I want. And God said, no, you can't. But it was pride. So you see all this stuff with pride, and what happens to it is it gets engulfed. God cannot come close to a prideful heart. If you've got a prideful heart and you're thinking, oh, I just want to get closer to God, he's got to break that pride first. Put the next verse up. Pride first, then the crash, but humility is precursor to honor. Pride first, then the crash, but humility is precursor to honor. What's humility? Precursor, it comes before. So if you have humility, what's after humility is honor. So when you're humble, when you come in, if you come in this place and you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, man, I really screwed up this week. Or, man, I really didn't spend the time I needed to with God. We were just talking about spending time with God, and I didn't do it at all. I didn't even open my Bible at all. But you come in here with this, God, I'm sorry. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve you. And you begin to be humble. Instead of coming here and saying, well, I'm all that in a bag of chips. What's up? God, you should be glad I'm here. This youth group should be glad that I'm here because I'm so cool. I totally turn up the cool points in here by like 10. Nobody cares. Yes, you do, right? Now, precursor to heaven. Okay, we're good. You don't have to clap. Go to the next slide. Next slide. As the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. See, because when you're walking close with God, you no longer have pride in like all these random things. You begin to boast about God. All of a sudden, when you get closer to God, all of a sudden you begin to boast saying, you know what? I used to be like this, but because of God, I'm like this now. And this happened because of God. I'm boasting in the Lord because that's who I'm proud of. That's who I want to have pride in is the Lord. I don't want to have pride in my own life. So now the question is, what has pride held you back from? What has your pride held you back from? Maybe it's from saying sorry to somebody that you were a real jerk to. And you thought about it. You kind of thought, well, maybe I should go make that right. Nah, they deserved it. They were asking for it. That person that I dunked in the toilet, yeah. They totally deserved it. That dude I hit in the face because he looked funny. Yeah, he deserved that. He shouldn't have looked funny. That was his fault. That guy I shoved in the lockers because he ran into me with his books. Yeah, he deserved that. But what gives you the right? What gives you the right to decide that? Because you're prideful. Boast only about the Lord. Luke 18. So what's up? Now, if you're thinking, if you're in here and you're thinking, you know what? And you come to service and you're always here and you're always going after, that's good. That's good. But you might be thinking, you know what? This message really isn't for me. Because you know what? I'm the best Christian in this room. I am just, you know what? I'm so awesome. I don't struggle with sin. I don't get tempted. I'm awesome. Okay? Let me read this to you. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. Keep going. Wow. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. Fasting is you're going without food or something to get closer to God. I fast twice a week, which you don't announce that you're doing it. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. So he's tithing, okay? But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." I tell you this, sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Lifted up, honored. That's what the Bible says. It's prettier. It's nicer. Exalted. So, let me play this out for you. So that'd be like me going in. Can I get somebody? Let me see. Mark, why don't you come here? Just come here, Mark. Go ahead, come up here. Okay, so Mark, I mean, as most people probably know, Mark's a big sinner, all right? So Mark's coming in. He's coming into church, right? Okay, so he's at temple or church or whatever, and I walk in, kind of straight. Well, they were in the temple, you know. Obviously, we're not in a temple because we're not Jewish. Okay, so here we go. I'm walking in, right? I'm the Pharisee. I'm like, hey, what's up? You guys should be glad I'm here. I know, I'm cool. He walks in and he begins to pray, right? So here's Mark. Mark, go ahead and get down. You're really pouring your heart out to God here because you're a sinner. So he's hitting his chest, you know, he's showing all sorts of just anguish. Go ahead and hit your chest. Okay. Anguish. All right. Now here comes the Pharisee. He begins to pray. He comes up next to this guy who's seeking God for forgiveness because he realizes he's a sinner and he just needs God's help. Here's the Pharisee. Oh God. I look great, for one. Two, this is an awesome outfit that I'm wearing. Sweet robe, everything like that. But God, I want to thank you that I'm not like the rest of these sinners in this church. God, I'm so above all of that. And God, I thank you especially that I'm not like that tax collector. What a loser. Look at him. My robes are way cooler. God, I tithe. God, I fast. God, I know every Hillsong song there ever was. I know them all. Take. I know that one. I know them all. Jesus Culture, it's on my iPod. I've got it down. I only listen to Christian music. You know what? I don't hang out with any sinners. I don't let them near me because they're dirty. All right? I'm the Pharisee. So now if you're in here tonight, you say, you know what, I don't struggle with any of that. I don't struggle with any of that. But yet you're prideful. Then you do struggle. Because that Pharisee, what did he say? This man right here, Mark, the tax collector, left justified with God. Why? Because he became broken before the Lord. Because he realized he didn't have what it took, but he knew who did have it. And he was pouring it all out to him, even though he was a sinner, even though he didn't do right. Look, I can tell you this right now. If you struggle, I mean, we all struggle. But if you continually struggle, as long as you're honest, you're open before the Lord, I promise you'll get past it. as long as you continually come back to God and you have a continual broken heart saying, God, I screwed up. Mark, you can go away. I'm about to trip over you. Thanks. I screwed up, God. I keep messing up. I keep hanging out with these people I shouldn't. I keep, you know, smoking random things I shouldn't be smoking. I keep, you know, talking just like filthy, like a sailor. Man, I'm probably the worst. But see, when some of you are snickering and some of you laugh about it, and some of you are probably even thinking, yeah, I do. You're proud about it. You think it's cool to walk around school in some kind of gang colors and act like you're tough. You think it's cool to think that people are intimidated by you. You like that. I mean it's just, this is kind of off the subject, but if you're a guy in here and you get pleasure from intimidating people, you like intimidating people, you like people being scared of you, you're not a man. That's all there is to it. You're not a man. If you're the first to start a fight, you're not a man. You want to know what a real man is? A real man is broken before the Lord. That's a real man. A real man talks to a lady, a princess of God, with respect. And he would not dare put his hands on her in any way. What is going on? Oh, don't call anybody out in here. Well, God can deal with them later, and they can get it right on their own. They don't need your help. No Pharisees in here right now. But seriously, we carry around so much pride, we think, man, I have the right to all of this. I have the right to that. Or I have the right to this. No, you don't. You don't. If you're going to boast, you boast in the Lord. If you say you're a Christian, and which I love saying that, because if you say you're a Christian, then why are you carrying around so much pride? Why aren't you broken before the Lord? Because let me tell you something. There was things, every time that I advanced in my spiritual walk with God, every time I got closer to God was the time when I was broken. I would weep, I would cry, and I would think, God, I missed it. God, I messed up. God, I didn't witness to that friend who I just found out they got in a car wreck and they're no longer here for me to witness to. God, I screwed up. I missed my opportunity. And I was broken. See, but God can do something with that. God can do something with you if you're humble, if you're broken before him. Pride ruins ministers. If any of you in here, you feel calling to ministry, you say, you know what, I feel like preaching is what I want to do. I want to be a missionary, or I want to do, I got a warning for you. Pride, it'll get you. Because if you see these big ministers, right, they get on TV, and they're, you know, they've got all this stuff going for them, and then all of a sudden, you're like, man, this guy's so cool, and everybody's following him, thinking, man, he's so close to God. And then all of a sudden, like 2 weeks later, he's like picking up hookers and like shooting up with stuff and doing all this, and you're like, where did that come from, right? It started with pride. Because I can guarantee you it started with this. Man, my ministry is doing great. Man, my ministry is really growing. Man, my ministry is taking off. Man, my church is so huge, I'm going to slap my name on the side of it. Man. And you lost it. Because whose ministry is it? It's God's. I mean, yeah, sure, you're a part of it. You're being used. But when you start just secluding it, thinking, this is all mine, I built this. And you start leaving God out of ministry. And I've been there. I've done that. I thought, man, if I could just grow this group big enough. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, how did I get here? I stopped being broken before the Lord. I forgot the sinner I was and began to think I was something much better than everybody else. Just because Christ has redeemed you, just because Christ has given you a second chance or third or fourth or fifth or a 28th chance, doesn't make you any better than anybody else. It just means you have something that they need and you need to share it with them. But you can't when pride has you by the throat. You can't act a different way, or you can't be nice to somebody because you lose your image at school. You lose your rep, or you lose whatever. That really just beautiful boyfriend you have who's got the 12-pack and is just insanely strong. Yeah, I know. Gosh. Or that just beautiful girlfriend that she's just so pretty. Oh, whatever you want. Yes, sweetheart, take my lunch money. Go buy you a new purse. I don't need to eat. Sure, honey. I mean, my wife is beautiful, so I do that all the time. Yeah, sure, sweetheart. Here's my credit card. I don't even know what I'm doing. Here we go. You go ahead and take it. No, I'm kidding. She is beautiful, though. But our pride, it ruins ministers. Now, I did this thing, and I want to tell you the story, because you remember when my fly was down? You remember that? Okay. Let me tell you why. That was hilarious, okay? That was hilarious. That was so funny. But let me tell you why it was even funnier to me, okay? But no, it's not. I know. These jeans are too tight. I can hardly even get them off, okay? Much less the fly come down. So now look, listen. So when God began to tell me to do these. Listen. Stick with me. Almost done. What just happened? Okay. So God began to tell me to do these things, right? I got a word from this awesome lady of God who's prayed over me, and she said, God's going to begin to ask you to step out into the weird, the abnormal, like ask you to do stuff that doesn't make sense, or maybe it's a little weird, or maybe it makes sense, but you're just kind of like, okay, that's weird. Why would I do that? So I'm like, okay, you know, that's cool. I'm kind of thinking, God, I hope you don't ask me to do anything too weird, like, you know, like, I don't know, just weird stuff. So anyways, well, the first thing God asked me to do clearly speaks to my heart, and he says, I want you to find a verse, just one verse in the Bible, obviously in the Bible, nowhere else, in the Bible, I want you to write it down on a piece of paper, and I want you to put it in your pocket the whole day, and I want you to think about it, you know, pray about it, but I want you to carry it around with you in your pocket, and I want you to write down anything you want to see, the ministry that I birth with, through you, that I use you in, what you want to see in that ministry, what you want to see in ministries that you're a part of. I want you to write that in your pocket, and I want you to walk around with it. So I did all sorts of cool things, right? Like, I'm going through the Bible, I'm like, man, God, this would be sweet. You know, so I'm writing this down. I was writing when Peter was walking down, and they would lay out the sick just so his shadow would fall on them, and they'd be healed. I was like, man, if I get that close to God, that and just walking and people are healed, man, that'd be insane. Look, imagine if you were that close to God and God birthed a healing ministry through you, and you walk through your school and there's, you know, the kid in the wheelchairs that you always see, or the kids that are, you know, they had a disability or something's going on, and all of a sudden you walk by them and they just stand up and you start walking around. People would be like, oh my gosh, whoa. And see, this is where the pride would come in, because if you walked by and you saw that happen, Here's the person that's humble. Well, glory to God. You just keep walking. Thank you, God. The person that isn't. Yeah, that's right. That was my shadow. Fell on them. Nobody else's. It looked like she walked close to him, but it was me. Don't be mistaken. If you want some of that, I'll be walking this corridor about 3:00. All right. It's not about you. It's about God. So I wanted that, right? So I wrote that down. Put that in my pocket. So I prayed about it. I said, God, you know, I want healing to work through. I want you to work healing through me and everything like that. So I'm walking, praying. Next day I wrote, I forget what I wrote the second day. So it was the other cool miracles that I read about. I wrote those down. I put them in, you know. And then on the last day, I wrote, and it was before I preached here last week, I wrote this verse. Go ahead and throw this verse up there. I think it's 1 Kings or something. Let me see. Maybe 1 Kings. Kings something or other. Well, go to Kings. 1 Kings 18:42. It should be in there somewhere, I think. Are you sure? I totally put it in there. Okay. Either way, it's about Elijah. And Elijah was, it's first, hold on, put it in the thing. It's 1 Kings 18:42. So Elijah, right? This is when he prays for rain. Okay, this land hasn't had rain in forever. They need rain. So he begins to pray for rain. All right? So now this great man of God, this guy that's done miracle after miracle after miracle, like God's used him to do all this stuff. When he prays for rain, it says, oh. Okay, wait. That's 44. I need 42. 43. We're getting close. Okay, there we go. Then he said to his servant, go out and look towards the sea. The servant went and looked, then returned to, oh wait, no, it's 42. There we go. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Okay, so this prestigious man of God, I mean, you know, began to break before the Lord. He literally got so low, his face was in between. Okay, so he's almost like his butt in the air, right? So now if you picture this, this dude is down. Like, I mean, he's in the dirt and the gross, and he's just broken before God, asking him, God, make it rain. God, they need rain. Make it rain. And he's humble. And even though God's using him to all these miracles, there's no pride in him. His face is in the dirt. He doesn't care what he looks like. He knows he has to depend on God. He's completely broken for God. And I thought, God, I want that kind of humbleness. You know, I want that kind of humbleness. You know, in any place you take me to, I always want to remain humble. So I was writing it down, right? And God said, oh, you're sure? And I was like, what do you mean, am I sure? Yes, I'm sure. Humbleness is great, God. Gosh, come on. So I'm writing it down, and I stick it in my pocket. And I'm like, okay. So I go through that whole day, and I come to preach tonight. And in the middle of that sermon, I'm thinking, man, this sermon's going great, right? You know, I'm laughing. Everything's funny. You know, it's working out. And then all of a sudden, my zipper's down. And I'm like, and I looked down at it, and I was just like, and I could almost hear him laughing at me. Like, there you go. You're humble. And I'm just looking like, oh, that was funny. But it reminded me that it's not about me. It doesn't matter how I talk. It doesn't matter how I deliver this to you. It's about God. Because no matter how I deliver the word of God to you, if it's the word of God and it's anointed, you're going to take off with it. Humbleness. So it's time to let your pride go. Can we get the lights? Here, I'll get these. I'm really close to them. David, Travis, you guys are.